This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits John, and to my right is Travis. And today we are going to be talking about something that is all through the scriptures. It is called wisdom. And wisdom is something different than knowledge. You have to have knowledge to have wisdom, but just because you have knowledge doesn't mean you have wisdom. The Bible's pretty clear about this, and let me just explain that last statement for just a moment. You can believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and the whole kit and caboodle, right? You can believe all of that stuff. You can give mental assent to that stuff. But there's a difference between mental assent to something and having faith in something. And faith in the Bible is always connected to trust. Trust is always connected to obedience. There's a trusting of God. And the fear of the Lord is a trusting of God, trusting of what he is saying. And this is where we get the idea of biblical wisdom.
Which makes a lot of sense. And like you said, the scriptures talk a ton about wisdom and knowledge. And as we were talking about what we were going to discuss for this topic, I remember something that my mom used to tell me when I was a kid. High school kid, before I'd go out with my buddies or whatever, she would say, make wise decisions. Not good decisions, but wise decisions.
Not, and I was knowledgeable,
like,
decisions.
Not knowledgeable decisions either. And I was like, well, as we were talking about this idea of wisdom, like, why didn't she just say make good choices, you know?
Yeah.
Because you think about what's good for me in that time period of my life, like, you know, hanging out till 2 a.m. with my buddies and playing video games and doing whatever. That in my mind would have been good, but was it wise? So there is a difference between, you know, having this baseline of knowledge and then good and wise decisions.
Yeah, wise decisions are always connected to action, and it's having knowledge of and then the application, using the right knowledge at the right time in the right moment to make the right decision. And it's always connected to decisions.
Well, and I was even looking, I came across an article from Forbes, of all places, that was talking about wisdom. And there's been studies and there's science behind it too. And one of the things that they said was a characteristic of wisdom was like a long-term perspective on it too. Mm. It might not be good for just the here and now, but the long-term, are you looking ahead? Are you doing things that point towards something better in your future?
Yeah, I mean, knowledge, making decisions based on knowledge, that tends to work when they're black and white decisions, right? Mm-hmm. When it's this, there's a clear direction. When I think of wisdom, I think much more of when we get into what life is, mostly is complex things that we have to have again, take that knowledge, put it into practice in ways that make sense when things aren't obvious. And that's, to me, that's where wisdom comes in often.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that God really speaks really two ways to us. One, he speaks, you know, there's the direct communication. And, you know, Moses and the burning bush, mm-hmm. God says, you know, I am, you know, take off your shoes. You're walking on holy ground. It's a direct communication. Well, that doesn't happen very often. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have recorded that in the scripture. It would have just been a Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't happen that often. And then all the rest of the time, he gives us his word. He's the giver of all wisdom. He is the autonomous one who has all wisdom. And we don't make wisdom. He makes wisdom. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know what? Lean into my wisdoms. I'll guide your paths. I'll get you to the place you need to go. But those are really his communication. When we don't have a direct communication, we have to trust knowledge and wisdom. And I think that there's, you know, Proverbs talks about there's really three ways that we can always make a decision. One is you're simple. A simple person is, they're just not thinking about it. They're just living life. They're reacting to life. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about it. There's no knowledge of. Then there's the wise person in chapter one. And the other character is the fool. The wise character has knowledge, and then he applies the knowledge that he has in the situation that he's in according to what God has for him in that situation. The fool is, I know what God says. Nah, I'm not going to do it. And the reality is God always uses these, what he tells us, it's for our benefit. Mm-hmm. It's not, I don't think most of our problem is that we don't love God enough. I think most of us, our problem is we don't actually believe God loves us that much to tell us the truth. Mm. And I think that's the, when he tells us something, it is always for our benefit. If you act the fool, there's consequences to that.
Mm-hmm. And that comes back to that thing of good and wise choices for me. You think about that, like, okay, God gives us wisdom to make wise decisions and choices in life. He gives us knowledge through his word, knowledge through our interaction with his creation, and we can see those things in our lives, but how are we going to apply that stuff? So if we're just like, you know, living for today, acting the fool, there are a lot of decisions that I'd make that are good for me for this day, but have long-term consequences.
Yeah, I think all of us live in all three of those categories almost on a daily basis. Sometimes I just don't know. I just simple. Sometimes I make wise choices, and sometimes I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do it. I know what to do right, and I choose not to. And we're always interacting within those three. And he is always calling us into, and I think that's the beauty of Jesus, is he takes the knots of our life, the foolish decisions that we've knotted something up, and he starts to unravel it for mm-hmm. us. And he starts to give us direction, and he starts to give us a way of life that is in connection to reality.
Mm-hmm. And we can seek out wisdom from God. That's the beauty of all this. We don't have to be the fool. We don't have to be the simpleton. Psalm 111 verse 10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding, and his praise endures forever. If we want to know God, we can read our Bible. Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. We all have spent a lot of money to know stuff about God and know him through that study. But it's that application of that knowledge. And God says, hey, if you ask for it, I think it's in James, right?
Yep.
If you ask for wisdom, James is saying that God wants to bless you with this. He wants to give it to you. All you got to do is ask.
He will generously give it to you, it says.
Yeah.
And then it says you have to ask, but there's also a one little clause in there.
The caveat.
When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of sea blown and tossed by the wind. The person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded, unstable in all they do. And what they're saying is like, yeah, God, I don't know what to do in the midst of this. Well, I'm going to take your advice and a little bit of Dr. Phil advice and a little Oprah advice. We're going to mix it all together and we'll get something out of this. No, God says, no, no, no. I'm the one who gives the wisdom, and it, you need to trust me. You need to hold on to what I'm telling you, otherwise you're just blown around. You're jumping over to Dr. Phil land, you're jumping over to Oprah land, you're jumping over, you know, to wherever you're getting your intel, your goofy buddies at the bar that tell you dumb things all the time, you know, wherever. You're jumping all over the place, and he says, no, if you're gonna ask me, just trust that what I'm telling you is true.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about, you guys have brought this up already a little bit, but I love that, you know, because of Jesus and because of the work that he did to make a way for us to come to God, we don't get left in the consequences of our foolish decisions either, or in our simpleness. You know, there's a way out that's offered, and that's one of the things that I love about this. Because so, if I'm honest with you, sometimes, you know, I look at the way wisdom is talked about in scripture and it feels sort of overwhelming. And then I go, oh, wait, but it comes from surrender to God and his will, you know? So it's not about, you know, me having to have all the answers. It's surrendering to God and looking to him for wisdom and for direction.
Yeah. Cause decisions that we make, making the right decision now, it starts to provide direction.
Yeah.
And so decisions are connected to direction, and direction determines destination. Mm. And so if you want to have a great marriage, listen to what God says about marriage.
Yeah.
Good golly. it's connected to those things.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I think is interesting about wisdom in the scripture, and there's three wisdom books in the scriptures. There's the Proverbs, written mostly by Solomon. There's Ecclesiastes, and there's the book of Job. And they're all written in a very specific way. And it is, they're not, there's exceptions to the rules in those things. They're not promises. They're kind of like, you know, we've heard, you reap what you sow. Well, that's usually true. The dude who gets out there and does the Charlie hustle and throws the seeds in the ground, he's going to reap some good benefits from that. The sluggard, though, you know, he's not. That's 99% of the time true until the dude hits the Powerball. The lazy sluggard hits the Powerball, and you go, "Wait, what's going on here?"
It's the Mega Millions right now.
It's Mega Millions. Yeah, almost a billion or something like that.
Crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, I think part of it is, and it's not dreaming where we want to be. It's making decisions toward where we want to go. Wisdom is not just what you know; it's what you show.
Mm-hmm. Mm,
yeah, that's good.
And there's this idea too of earthly wisdom and kind of godly wisdom. You know, earthly wisdom, I would correlate with like common sense, street smart kind of stuff. You can learn a lot of things about life and be, you know, able to just drop, like I think of the guy that you could just drop in New York or LA and he's going to be fine. Because he's got a lot of street smarts, a lot of that kind of wisdom. But godly wisdom is different than that. Godly wisdom, you know, is this reverent fear that we talked about. The fear is the beginning of all knowledge and all wisdom. Proverbs and Psalms talk about that. And that's a different type of living life.
It comes out of humility.
Uh-huh.
It comes out of humility. It comes out of, man, I don't got this. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, pride, the English language is weird because pride, like you can have pride in your appearance. Travis, you should comb your hair every day and brush your teeth every day, right?
Thanks for the reminder.
So you should have pride. And so that's a good type of pride. But the pride that's this, there's this false type of pride that comes in. And in it's not secure in reality. My wife taught me actually this. We were about to buy, this is years back, we were about to buy Christmas gifts. And I like to give gifts. I think it's fun. I think it's really enjoyable. And I like to get things people aren't going to think they're going to get, but I know they need them, right? And so really fun, whatever. And yet all that stuff costs money, right? And we were in a place at that time where we just didn't have that much disposable income. And so I kind of put my list together, what I think we should get everyone. And I showed it to her and she said, no, I don't think you should do that. I don't think we should do that. And I said, well, I want to get in this gift. We have a credit card. We'll just pay it off. And she said, you know what? You're living a false identity. Oof. I was like, dang, oh. Woman. that was harsh.
Man.
And she's like, you want them to think you're something that you're actually not at this point in your life. And I went, oh, that was the better part of wisdom she was speaking of. And so I think that there are things like that where when we are humble and we go, oh, and so we didn't actually do it. I listened to her wisdom and we didn't do it. And it was fine what we gave. I don't remember what exactly it was, but we gave within our means, not outside of our means. But she taught me this idea of there's this pride. Humility is always connected, though, to the reality that we don't know. We don't know certain things.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I was a pastor, like speaking every week on Sundays. And I had to go because I had like four sermons in my pocket, you know, going jingling. And after 4 weeks, I didn't have anything else to say.
There it is. Everything I know.
I could go to repeat. But I was like, man, I really don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to put a series together. They don't teach you that in seminary. They didn't teach me in seminary how to put a series together. They taught us how to preach a sermon, singular. but Sunday comes with enormous regularity is what I've learned. And so what I did is I humbled myself and said, hey, who knows how to do this? And I went to other pastors who had been doing this, who were good at creating this, and said, teach me. Help me to understand. They let me sit in their staff meetings and showed me how to do it. And it was just phenomenal. But it took me going, I don't know what I don't know to gain wisdom. It was a part of humility.
It's huge. I don't think you'll ever meet a wise person who isn't also humble.
Yeah.
You know, and as we grow in wisdom, we grow in reverence and awe of the things that we don't understand, which leads us to God, who is the opposite of that. You know, he all-knowing, understands how it's all put together and is, in fact, holding it all together. And so if we're not able to be humble enough to stand in awe of one in wonder of this God, we can never be wise.
Yeah. Well, wisdom always grows with the wise.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the rich get richer, the wise get wiser.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even that Forbes article, which was, you know, based off of scientific studies from different colleges and stuff, one of their components of wisdom was they classified it as seeking diversity, but it was talking about wisdom demands ongoing learning for you. It's, and they said that wise people have a sense of humility, realizing that they don't know everything and that there are people out there smarter, wiser, more advanced than they are. And that's super interesting to me that even like academia, the worldly view of this thing still comes back to this biblical principle.
Yeah.
Because wisdom is a biblical principle.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I think that there's also, you can know a lot of things about a certain topic and still not really understand it. When I think it was the year 2000, I got really into books on Everest, Mount Everest.
Nice.
And so I read like Krakauer's book Into Thin Air, and I read like there's a German guy that wrote another book about it, kind of refuting Krakauer's account. And then I read, you know, about the Sherpa life and the culture. I just read tons of things about it because I was just fascinated by that mountain. And I started to think, man, I could go there. I could do that. I could go up there. And I mean, I could tell you things about Everest to this day. You know, base camp is at 17,000 feet. The first camp, because you had to acclimatize, is about 20,000 feet above sea level. 26,000 feet, you're in the death zone. You know, there's the Hillary Step, and oh, there's all of this stuff I could tell you about it. I could tell you that if Travis, if we dropped you off right now on the top of Mount Everest, you would live about 3 minutes, and then you would suffocate because there's 1/3 the amount of oxygen on top of that mountain.
Yeah, that's why those guys bring up the oxygen canisters with
them. Yeah, but they've acclimatized, so most of them can, they could live up there for a couple hours, a few hours.
I just saw this thing on social media yesterday about, you know, it was a New Year's thing, and it was like, I just want to remind all you highly motivated people that Mount Everest is scattered with the bodies of highly motivated people, so maybe calm down.
305 people.
Wow.
That's how many people have died on there. Just random knowledge that I have just in my head on that. But I think that that's part of it, is like you can have knowledge of something and not ever do anything. I think our churches are scattered with people who have knowledge about God, but never walk with God. Those are two different things.
Yeah.
To walk on a daily basis with God, to allow him to provide wisdom for you, to guide your path, to light your path, to illuminate that to you, is a totally different ballgame. And it's always connected to obedience. It's always connected to believing that he is for you and that he loves you. And he does. But how much do we hold on to that? Do I actually believe that enough to go to the word of God and go, God, I just need you today. I need you in my relationships. I need you in my finances. I need you on how to rear kids. I need you in everything that I do, how I relate to other people. I need you and I need your wisdom on how to do this.
And that's a distinguishment between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. Like earthly wisdom, we're trying to figure out how to operate and function well in our environment here. But godly wisdom, we have that understanding, we trade those earthly values for kingdom values, and we live that way. You start to put those things into practice because you're humble and know that you can't do it by yourself, because you're practicing some wise things in your life and like, I don't have this. Where's the source of truth and knowledge that does have value to it, that shows like this is the way to go?
Yeah, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is of King Solomon. And the Bible says that he's the wisest man that ever lived. People from all over the world would come and visit this dude because he was learned, well-learned, and he was wise. And so leaders from other countries would come and go, hey, what about this? You know? And so he was also the richest man to ever live. The estimates on his wealth was 2.1 trillion, I believe, which is 2 with 12 zeros.
Is that back then, or is that transferred
today,
up today?
There's no one even close to that, though.
Yeah.
No one's close to that. Billionaires we have, but we don't have no trillionaires. And two, you know, times two crazy. But what was interesting, he takes over. He's so, just if you don't know the story, King David is his daddy, Bathsheba's his mama. And he takes over, and they believe he is like 12 years old or 13 years old at that point. So he's like, he's a junior hire. Yeah. He's a junior hire, and he takes over the nation of Israel. God comes to him at night, and it's one of these, I think it's a dream that he has, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. And he has this dream, and God says, and God's not a genie in a bottle, but in this moment, he says, I will give you anything you want. And King Solomon says, I'd like to be wise so I can lead your people. At 12 years old.
I don't know if I would have asked for that.
No. I don't even know if now I would have asked for that. But God says, you know what? I'm going to give you honor. I'm going to give you wealth. And I'm going to give you wisdom. He gives them all three. And for some of you out there today, you might be going, well, you know, God hasn't come to me in a dream. He hasn't asked me that question. But James, remember what we said about James chapter 1, verse 5? It tells us very, very clearly that if you desire wisdom, if you want wisdom, God is generous to give it to you. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. And so if you are in a situation today where you just are, you know, maybe it's at work, maybe it's at home, maybe the wife is mad at you and you don't know what to do, maybe it's just time to ask the one who has all wisdom, and that is God. That is what we have. That is the incredible resource that we have, that God, the creator of the world, he will give you wisdom if you ask for it. That is good news you can use.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us this week. We hope you guys enjoyed our topic here on Pearls and Swine, an Evangel Community Church podcast. If you want to catch up with any of our other previous episodes, you can search Evangel Houghton on your podcast, Apple or Google device, or you can check us out on our website, evangelup.org.